So this is Parshat Pikudei, right? We're in a leap year, so we split up Vayechel and Pikudei. Vayechel last week and Pikudei this week. When we're not in a leap year, you do all it all together. But we are in the leap year, so we split them up, and it's kind of good. Pikudei is an interesting Parsha. It's the last Parsha in Shmot in Exodus. And basically, it covers the finishing of the Mishkan and the dedication of the Mishkan and the dedication ceremony. Right, so how do you say dedication in Hebrew? Hanukkah. So guess what? The Haftorah that we do today is the same Haftorah that we do for the second Shabbat in Hanukkah when we have two Shabbatot in Hanukkah. Okay? Except for Rosh Chodesh, you're right. That's right. Today's Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, so we do a different Haftorah. So I'm glad I'm going to talk about it a little bit now because we're not going to do it even though we're doing it. But we're not. It's good to be the king. So the dedication and the dedication ceremony to the Mishkan is altogether fitting to finish the book of Shmot and begin the book of Vayikra, to begin the book of Leviticus, which is often called in a lot of circles Torah Kohanim, Torah Kohanim, the instruction of the priests, right? So you finish Exodus with the dedicate with the Miluim, with the inauguration ceremony of the priests. Okay? So what's really interesting is that the inauguration ceremony of the priests is exactly like the inauguration ceremony of all of the stuff that goes into the Mishkan. Right? All of the stuff that goes into the Mishkan. All of the artifacts and bowls and fire pans and all of the tools and instruments that go into the work in the Mishkan are all treated in the same way. They are sanctified before God, right? So how do we sanctify them before God? Right? We do an incantation, right? Right? Hey. You're sanctified. No.
Smother me in butter.
Yeah, I'm not going to finish that one. You put oil on them. Right? You put oil on them. Now, when you're using oil for sanctification, this is not like putting butter on your pancakes. Right? This is a little different. And there's a special word in Hebrew for putting oil on something in order to sanctify it before God. A symbolism that this is now separated before God. It's kadosh. It's kadosh. So we put the oil on it, and what do we call that? It's not just putting shemen on it, oil. It's called meshicha. Meshicha. The root of which is Mashiach. You put oil on it. So if you got a fire pan, you put oil on it. Right? On the menorah, you put oil on it. On the table for the showbread, you put oil on it. Right? The parochet, the curtain that all of those ladies just spent a year sewing. And they're all going, no! And you put oil on it. Okay? And then what do? You've got the priesthood. You put oil on them. You anoint them. And that's the word that is Mashiach or Mishicha is translated. Is anointing. You anoint them. You anoint the priests. You anoint the fire pans. You anoint the golden altar. You anoint the menorah. You anoint the sacrificial altar. Everything is anointed. What does that mean? It means just oil on it. Now, in modern day parlance, You walk into your favorite Baptist church, and they talk about something being truly anointed. Okay, and they're not talking about throwing oil on it. Okay, it is it's cultural misappropriation. Let me use the word. Okay, right? Right? If a message is anointed, you know, I better duck. You know, it's like a bar mitzvah boy, you know, with the candy coming. You're our most recent bar mitzvah boy. You know, you duck. Ah, here comes the oil. Oh! Okay? That's not what it means, okay? It does mean to have oil thrown on it. Now, there's a reason to have the oil thrown on it, and that is that this is one of the three fluids that are talked about in the Torah. And oil, olive oil, right? Shemen zayit, tahor, pure olive oil, is one of these fluids, and its symbolism is very specific. It means consecration in English, which means set apart for God. It makes things kadosh. Does it make things kadosh? Are we talking about tantric magic here? Right? No. No. Like with all things that we are instructed to do in Torah, there is a higher understanding that the physical action reminds us of. What's higher understanding? This that we're throwing the grease on is separated for God. That's it. All of the Mishkan is separated for God. All of the priesthood is separated for God. And that's what it means. Okay? Meshicha. So, if you're one of the 70 and are charged with the translating of the Tanakh into Greek, and you get to this part, and suddenly we got a lot of Mishicha going on, and you got to translate that into Greek. Well, there is no term that means that in the Greek. There is no term in the Greek that means Mishicha. Right? The closest term that they have in Greek is the word Christos. Christos is what the wrestlers used to do to their bodies before they went into the wrestling arena. They'd smear themselves with fat or with oil.
Crisco.
And that's where the word Crisco comes from, right? Okay? It's the closest they got. Is it wrong? No. It's a perfectly fine translation. Because, and when you go from language to language, you are going to lose meaning that is culturally attached to terminology, no matter what language is going to what language. Right, as Monica can attest, when you're trying to translate into Spanish, there's things that you lose. You just lose it, it's not there. The same is true going from Hebrew to Greek. Going from Hebrew to Aramaic, far less. It's why we look at the Aramaic. We don't look at the Greek. Right? In synagogue in Yeshua's time, they would have a mitargon, a translator, that would stand at the bima. And just like we do, we read some of the Torah in Hebrew, and then we read it in English. And they would read it in Hebrew, then they'd read it in Aramaic, and everybody would go, oh yeah, I understand that. So that everybody would understand. They didn't do Greek. Okay? They did Aramaic. So Aramaic is much closer. It's why when you study Torah, you also study the Targum Onkelos with it, the Aramaic translation, because it can give you insights into the understanding from 2,000 years ago. It's important. So, this inauguration, this miluim, the installment, if you will, of the priesthood, finishes out the book of Exodus. we have gone through from Genesis 1 an historical narrative, not necessarily all in a straight line. Sometimes we backtrack, and but we've gone through an historical narrative that ends because we've come to the end of the book of Exodus. Now, we're going to talk about Torah Kohanim. We're going to talk about the Kohites. We'll come back to the narrative when we get to the book of Numbers. They can't hear. Make me louder. How's that? Does that sound better? Okay. I'm not accustomed to public speaking. Citizens of Rock Ridge. No. So, as we shift gears and we begin to look at the instruction to the priests, we begin actually in this parsha with the installation of the priests, in having to ask the question, what does this have to do with us? Right? We ain't got no temple. We ain't got no Mishkan. It's not here. All that is instruction that's given to the priests, what does it have to do with us? And the answer is, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to find out. And it's got a great deal to do with us. Shabbat Shalom. Now, one of the things that is brought to mind when we look at the dedication, the inauguration, the Miluim, the installment of the priest, as far as the Mishkan is concerned. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us that this is a shadow of things to come. This is a shadow of things to come. And the Revelation explores a little bit some of the things to come. And that's why I've attached it to this particular Shabbat. The idea here is, however, completely misunderstood. These things, the Mishkan, the mitzvot, all of the things in the Torah are a shadow of things to come. This is true. This does not mean that they can be ignored. It means the opposite. It means the things to come are important to us because the things we do here are a shadow or a reflection of them. It's the opposite. We talk about things within time and space. The Mishkan, Har HaBayit, the temple, the mitzvot. Why are we here today? Because these things are a reflection of the things beyond time and space. We are here to do these things now because these things are a reflection or a shadow of the things beyond time and space. That's why they're so important. What are we doing here today? What is this? Where are we? We're in synagogue. What is synagogue? Synagogue is the commemoration of the things of the Mishkan and the temple. We don't have the temple. We don't have the Mishkan right now. So we commemorate the things of the Mishkan by having synagogue. Right? That's the whole purpose of what we're doing, is to commemorate the things that God told us to do that we can't do right now. That's why we're doing it. Right? We've got this. Now, to you and I, it looks a lot like a picnic table. But it's not. It's not. Why? Because this has been set aside for God. This is our commemoration of the Mizbeach, of the sacrificial altar. Can we do sacrifices now? No. Why not? Because we're to do them in the place that God chose, which is Har HaBayit, and we're not there. But we can commemorate because the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly, said, look, we can't do that anymore. So you do as much as you can. You don't ignore it. So we have this commemoration. We've got here the Parochet. You know? Need Carol Merrill behind curtain number one. Oh, I'm getting old. Okay. What did the Parochet separate? The Heichal, the holy place, from the Kadosh HaKodeshim. Kodesh HaKodeshim. Right? What's in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies? The Luchot HaBrit, right? The tablets of the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, Aaron's staff, the jar of mun, jar of manna, right? And the Torah scroll. Okay, we don't have a lot of that, but we got a copy of the Torah scroll, and guess where it is? Why is it in there? I tell you, I get no respect at all. Okay, why do we keep it in there? Because it's the Holy of Holies. Okay, is it the Holy of Holies? No. But when we look at it, we're supposed to remember that. It's the commemoration. It's symbolic, like the Torah scroll. Moses didn't write that one. I know that may come as a surprise to you guys. Okay? But he wrote one just like it. Right? So we have this copy. And that's what we're doing here. This is all a reflection of the things above and so... above. The things beyond time and space. So in order to honor the things beyond time and space, we do the things within time and space. Right? So we do the mitzvot. We do the mitzvot. And that's why we do the mitzvot. Are the mitzvot, are the commandments of God a shadow of the things to come? Yes! That's why to do them. That's not why not to do them. Beyond time and space, can you do mitzvot? There's no time. There's no space, you can't do mitzvot. This is the only place that we can do mitzvot, is within time and space. This is our charge. This is why humankind is so important. This is the purpose of all of creation, so that mankind, of his own free will choose God. How do you choose God? Well, you do what he says. And this is the only place we can do it. In the place that we are a shadow of, you can't do the mitzvot. No time and no space. Right? And here we have in the Revelation a bit of a description. Wipe away every tear from their eyes, no longer be death. Why is there no death? Because there's no time and space. No mourning, crying, or pain. No time and space. The old order has passed away. No time and space. Time and space are gone. We go from Har HaBayit and the Mishkan that we have within time and space here to the eternal, beyond time and space, Mishkan, which doesn't have a building or a structure, doesn't exist in time, doesn't exist in space, right? So it's another message exactly what all of that means. But here we have it. We're within time and space. And so we honor it because it's a shadow of things to come. That's why we do all of these things. Shabbat Shalom.